Hello, yes, welcome to the sound of the start of your weekend, the Not the Top 20 podcast betting show, sponsored by Betfair, me, Ali Maxwell, and him, George Ellick, just lifting up the rock of the EFL slate and seeing what lies beneath.
Rock and slate.
Any juicy grubs and worms for us? And we are recording a little early, and you know what they say about the early birds. This is about betting, and betting comes with significant risks. It's for over 18s only, very strictly, and we ask that those listening, thinking about placing a bet this week or any time, to be gamble aware and to head to begambleaware.org for more information on the risks that come with gambling. We're off the back of a poor week. George's nap was QPR draw no bet at Sunderland, and it was a draw. So he got his stake back there. The rest, crew at MK, Jesse, Deborah, anytime.
He had a shot early on. Didn't go very close. And then they didn't really attack after that.
And Wednesday at Ipswich, lost 6-0. My Bolton draw no bet nap was a loser. 1-0 defeat at Derby. Joe Wildsmith not getting a Christmas card from me this year. Huddersfield, 0-0 at Rotherham, my next best loser. Josh Sargent, anytime, providing us with our one winner of the weekend at 9-4 for Norwich. Swansea 0, Cardiff 1 was not the correct score in that game. So, thanking God for Josh Sargent today and every day, let's get tucked into a skinny slate. Just over a dozen games in the EFL. George, in Leagues 1 and 2, what's your best bet? What's your nap?
My nap is Burton to beat Port Vale at 6-5.
Hey! My next best is Burton and under 3.5 goals.
Really, I think it's going to be 5-0.
At 2.75.
Okay.
Tell me what you think.
Interesting. Firstly, let's start with Burton, who come into this really needing a win because their current run of form has them hurtling quite quickly down towards the relegation zone. And this, a game against Port Vale, who I would say right now, at this very moment in time, are the worst team in League One, is an opportune moment to do it. Port Vale's form isn't good when you look at it on paper. They've got just 1 point from their last six games. That was a 0-0 draw away at Cheltenham. But I think there's been more promise in those performances than probably the results suggest. Like, certainly they weren't the worst team at Exeter last time out. They probably deserved at least a point from that game. They were pretty good when they hosted Peterborough. Again, they lost 3-1, but again, created plenty of chances in that one. And the 1-0 draw to Carlisle kind of stands out in terms of...
The 1-0 draw.
The 1-0 defeat. stands out as being probably the worst result they've had this season. But again, if you actually look at the way the game unfolded, Carlisle scored with a very rare foray forward, and then Burton were pretty wasteful. And actually, if you look at their form at home at the Pirelli this season, generally they've picked up most of their points at home against the poorest teams in the league. Like, yes, they were beaten by Carlisle, and prior to that Northampton, and I guess, you know, losing games at home against the teams in the bottom half recently isn't ideal, but they beat Charlton 2-0, they beat Shrewsbury 1-0, they beat Cambridge 2-1, they beat Bristol Rovers 4-1, they drew with Fleetwood 1-1. Like, their away form and their general form against the best teams in the league is very, very bad, but at home against poorer teams they are normally the better team, because I'd put Carlisle into that as well. I had the displeasure of watching Port Vale last time out, and I was really taken aback by how poor they were. Like, they were abject against an Oxford team that had been beaten 5-0 in the midweek, that have not looked good for months. Oxford completely dominated the game.
That caused you a lot of displeasure, did it? Watching your side absolutely dominate and win 2-0.
I loved watching the game, but it wasn't a very nice footballing experience to watch Port Vale. Darren Moore isn't improving Port Vale. There's no signs of him doing so. Yes, they got a decent point away at Leyton Orient in midweek, but they were just so poor here. Like, no real attacking threat. They really struggled to keep an Oxford side whose attacking threat themselves has something great at bay. Like, it was just a really poor performance. And I came away from that thinking, that's the worst side I've seen this season. Now, obviously, they might improve. Obviously, this is a different game, and a game that they'll see as probably being more winnable despite being away from home. But yeah, I kind of can't. When you consider how consistently Burton have been able to show some kind of superiority against the poorest teams in the league, if I do think that Port Vale are the poorest team, then there's no reason why Burton won't have much the better of this game, and therefore being able to back them at odds against in what is an unbelievably important game for them. Yes, it's also a big game for Port Vale, because, you know, a win will obviously put them back in terms of having a chance to stay up. But I think it's Burton who'll take the initiative in this one, and I expect them to win the game. So it's 6-5. It's a value bet.
Yeah, I like it. This when I first looked at this, the phrase that sprang to mind was, "Can both teams lose this one?" It's one of them on account of that recent form. Burton, 4 defeats in a row at home, and Vale's away form in 2024, 5 defeats, and then that 0-0 draw against Vale last time out. But like you, I want to lean towards Burton. I see a tiny bit more in their performances. Even in defeats, they generally muster a dozen shots or more. So in their last 6 league games, they've had 12 or more shots in 4 of the 6. It's not pretty style-wise. It's a lot of direct play. It's quite a lot of long shots. But I just have more belief in them scoring than Vale. So Burton and under 3.5 goals is my next best. Burton straight up is your nap. And my nap is Derby County to beat Northampton and under 3.5 goals at 5-4, 2.25 with the Betfair Sportsbook. It gets to this stage of the season, and we start looking for teams that might be edging towards or fully on the beach with a deck chair, with their tops off.
I said this about Crawley about 4 weeks ago, and since then they've been on an incredible run.
With the sun cream on. Well, in that case, maybe Cobblers are about to go on their best run of the season, but maybe not. It was actually a Northampton fan who sort of was the first to use the phrase beachy in describing his team in a Sunday scouting report on our Twitter last Saturday. And yeah, their results recently have been really poor, and performances really backing up the results. I think it's fair to say, particularly last week in a 2-0 defeat against Wickham, and certainly in the 5-1 defeat away at Peterborough at the start of March. John Brady said himself he thinks they've lost their edge, which isn't a great thing to hear a manager say, I don't think. And yet, if I'm being completely honest, I think it's all fine. I think it's all fair. They hit 50 points really early this season as a promoted side. They're going to have their best season at this level for a long time. And I think they've earned an early trip to the beach, to be honest. Like, overall, credit to them. But specifically for this stage of the season, it's obviously not a benefit to their results, to their performances. And then on the flip side, I always think at this stage of the season, you start to feel teams gunning for promotion generally, who seem to get into a kind of footballing flow state where everything is pretty automatic, where the levels of motivation are so high and the level of performance are so high relative to their level that you can start to be much more confident, I think, in them churning out results and victories, even if when you're looking at the underlying data, it doesn't look incredible. When it comes to Derby, I think they're in that state at the moment, and their squad profile lends itself to this stuff. I think broadly it's thought that a bit of experience in your team, the likes of Conor Harahan, for example, but even like Dwight Gale, Sonny Bradley, guys like this, the strength that they have, physical strength, particularly in their back line, their threat from set pieces, which won them the game against Bolton last weekend, and then just having someone in the dugout in Paul Warne that has won this exact promotion more than once, I think it just pushes me towards thinking that Derby, having beaten Bolton, given themselves such a strong chance at making the top two, are going to, you know, crack on, basically. 1.44, their current price to make the top two with the Betfair Sportsbook. That suggests a 69% probability. And what motivation to make that even more probable with a win while those others aren't playing this weekend. I trust them to do so. I think they will beat Northampton this weekend. I don't see it being a pummeling necessarily. So I'm going to add the under 3.5 just to juice the price up to 5-4, 2.25 with the Betfair Sportsbook. I've done my next best, which was Burton under 3.5. So what's yours?
My turn. I'm going to put up MK to beat Stockport at 15-4. So just shy of 4-1. I wouldn't say I'm overly strong about this. I still have, you know, there are some alarm bells in my mind here that I'm basically taking aside an MK who are probably outperforming their underlying numbers more than any team in League 2, up against a Stockport side who are probably underperforming their numbers more than any side in League 2. And that's why the prices are as they are. Like, I think this is one of those games that any casual League 2 bettor who just kind of is driven by results and the league table and stuff like this will look at this price and be like, what is going on here? Like, MK Dons are a better side right now. I think for me, the reason why I'm looking at this is more in terms of the initiative for both sides. Like, Stockport's form is really tailing off at quite a crucial time now. And I think they're the fan base and everybody involved is getting pretty concerned. It's just one win now in their last seven league games. That was a 1-0 win over Newport. And we saw them squander a one goal lead late on against Crawley in midweek, a game where they, or on Monday night, a game where they really struggled to push on having gone ahead. They put in a really poor performance in the first half. And it just feels like there's a bit of soul searching going on at Stockport. And even though the underlying numbers are good, I think coming up against a side in MK Dons, where I'm pretty sure the team at Stockport will go into this game not knowing that MK are massively overperforming their numbers, but they'll absolutely know how strong MK Dons' form has been since Mike Williamson came in. And they'll also know that a couple of weeks ago, MK went to Mansfield, a team who are just completely dominant at home, unlike Stockport, who are kind of stuttering, and they beat them 2-1. So MK coming into this will believe in their ability to beat anyone away from home, even if their away form generally hasn't been great, and they lost to Grimsby last time on the road. But if you look at this, this is a game between two teams who are amongst the best in the whole division, with the away side very much in the ascendancy in terms of a pure results basis, and away side who know that a win here will do wonders for their potential to finish in the top three. Up against the Stockport side, you probably go into it a bit nervous and thinking to themselves, well, we just need to avoid defeat here. And that's not particularly, it's quite a dangerous way, I would say, to go into it. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, Stockport win this and win this well. And I know that's a weird thing to say when you're putting up the away side, but a nearly 4-1, I think you can basically chance the idea that from a pure kind of psychological perspective, maybe it'll be MK who come in and take the initiative to Stockport. So it's, yeah, as you can tell, it's a pure price thing rather than I think MK are going to go there and batter them. But I think, a nearly fours, it's a bet worth taking.
I am very excited about that game. Late kickoff on Saturday, live on Sky, Stockport and MK Dons, two very, very strong League Two teams that play, you know, are good exponents of sort of top quality League Two football right now, I would suggest. So make sure you get that on. And if you're joining George, you'll be cheering on MK. Don't forget the 90-minute payout is Betfair Sportsbook. This is the Match Odds 90 market with the 90 icon on the Sportsbook app and site. And it means if the team that you bet on is winning when the clock hits 90, you'll be paid out as a winner, even if they concede an equaliser in injury time. You can build ACCAs with the Match Odds 90 market as well. As always, make sure you read the T's and C's to understand the Match Odds 90 market with Betfair. My goal scorer is in League 2, plays for Doncaster Rovers. He's one of the most informed players in the EFL right now and certainly one of the most fun to watch. Hakeeb Adelakun of Doncaster Rovers at 4.33, 100 to 30 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Best price available at the moment as we record. He is on red hot form. Five goals he has scored since joining Donny towards the end of the transfer window. That puts him as their third top scorer already. And look, the quality of the goals speak for themselves. It's five in his last eight games, the eight games that he started for them. And it's one of those where, particularly a wide forward, and players like Adelakun, someone like James Tilley springs to mind early on in the season, can get on amazing hot streaks where it feels like they will just score forever.
Yeah.
And the reality and the science and the data of probability will tell you that that won't happen. You know, the sorts of goals that they're scoring are generally not tap-ins. They are generally cutting in from wide areas and putting fantastic shots into the corners or making the most of some poor handling from the goalkeepers. That sort of thing generally fuels a player of this profile having a run like Adelakun is having. The difference, I would say, and maybe this is just my own bias helping to consider this good value, is that while I don't think this will last forever, it feels different to Tilly's run from the start of the season, for example, where Tilly has an incredibly good left foot, a very powerful shot, and scored in an incredible purple patch a number of shots from the edge or just outside the box. And, you know, that has not continued. He is still taking quite a lot of shots. They're just not going in. Adelakun for me is a slightly different type, where for me it's very clear that he's just playing beneath his level and that he's found a manager in Grant McCann who's achieved what a lot of managers haven't achieved, whether it's a problem with Adelakun's fitness or application or motivation that means that he's had some incredible hot patches in his career so far, but also long swathes of time where he's just not impacting games and not seeing the pitch at all. But you can't watch him for Donny right now and get away from the fact that he's just way above this level. And he seems to be thriving, enjoying himself. And McCann, as I say, is getting the best out of him. So he's up against a Forest Green team who, under Steve Cotterill, are just all about sitting as deep as they can, defending as resolutely as they can, and hoping that they somehow nick a goal on the break or from a set piece. The most shots Forest Green have had in the last six games is 8 total shots. And in the last 7, they have faced 17 shots or more in 5 of the last 7. So I see this being a game where Doncaster likely dominate the shot count and Adelican as their number one threat right now, hopefully having some opportunities. So 130, Hakeem Adelican, my anytime goalscorer pick. What's yours?
I'm going to put up Matthew Dennis to score anytime for MK in the game I just spoke about.
Thought about it hard.
You did?
I did, yeah. I thought about it hard.
There's something interesting here where you've got Max Dean, who came kind of out of nowhere to score 9 goals in very little time at all, playing under Mike Williamson. A young striker who we hadn't seen much of prior to that. And then he gets a long-term injury. And then suddenly Matthew Dennis, who we haven't seen a great deal of, who spent some time on loan at Sutton last season to basically no effect whatsoever, comes into the side and scores 4 goals in pretty quick succession, including 2 against Crewe last time out. Dean and Dennis. It's quite nice. They might be 2 very good strikers. I'm sure they'll go on to have great careers, but it's kind of implying to me that maybe what I think the sign of a very good manager is when you can create a system where a front man is getting into a lot of goal scoring positions. And that seems to be the case with this MK Don side, which is good.
Remember when I was picking Max Dean a lot a few months ago?
Dino.
I even crunched the numbers of Mike Williamson's striker's goal record. And it, as far as I understand, it doesn't matter who they are. So they will score goals, or rather they will have chances created for them.
You know the classic thing that you speak about when you're a kid where you're like, if you played up front for Manchester United for a season, how many goals would you score?
Yeah.
It's pretty Man City now. Man United would be 0. Is it now how many goals would you score playing up front for Mike Williamson?
Yeah, 3.
3?
Yeah.
But then that completely goes against your whole argument.
Yeah, but I'm not a professional footballer.
You said anyone.
And I'm quite a wasteful finisher.
No, you hit the ball hard. I would... so he's... And Dean isn't back, so we can be pretty sure that Dennis will play through the middle. Dan Kemp had a bit of a spell thereafter. Dean came out and didn't get the goals that was expected of him, and he's now coming off the bench. Gilby's playing as the 10. For me, reasons I've already mentioned, I think MK will be able to take the game to Stockport in a way that not many other teams do. And it's not that often that you get a player at 7-2 who's going to be playing through the middle up front in a game where you can expect the away side to create chances at that kind of price. So, it's a pretty simple one from my point of view. And it's, again, because he's young and because he hasn't got like a book of EFL goals that comes with him, and it's a very, very small sample size to work off. There's every chance that you've got a player here who will be a lot shorter than 7-2 in games going forward. And because he scored a brace against Crewe last time out, we know he's going to start. Although I've said that a few times this season and then players get dropped. But yeah, set 7-2, he's my selection.
The real niche remix of how many goals would you score if you played up front for Mike Williamson's MK Dons, and probably more relevant to you as a deep-lying sprayer type, is how many passes would you complete per 90 if you played at the base of midfield for Mike Dean, Mike Williamson?
Someone who loves just a first-time passer back to where we got it from, I would say a few.
You and Lewis Bate just bouncing the ball off each other.
Yeah.
Nice pick. My long shot is Carlisle 0, Stevenage 0. Correct score. At 8.5, 17-2, Stevenage, in 6 of their last 7, have registered scorelines of either 0-0 or 1-0. They've only scored 3 goals in their last 7 games, Stevenage. And I think that pretty much sums it up. 3 or 4 of those games that they've had have seen a combined XG of under 1. Like, this is rare levels of bleakness in terms of goal mouth action at both ends. Carlisle, for their part, have lost 12 out of 13 in the league. They are very low on confidence. Their relegation will be confirmed in the next few weeks. The wind is completely out of their sails. Obviously, the main concern for this bet is that because of that, they will just collapse. And Stevenage, who are clearly not at their best, will have quite an easy ride of it. I just don't necessarily see that happening. Stevenage are really, really struggling to create from open play at the moment. I don't think there will be a lot of open play ball time in this game. These are two of the teams with the lowest ball in play time in the league. I think Stevenage are going to go for another, you know, I think they're just going to try and grind it out to get to the playoffs at the moment. And I think they might find it hard up in Carlisle. So the 0-0 correct score with the Betfair Sportsbook, 15-2, 8.5 is my long shot.
My long shot is over 5.5 goals in Notts County against Salford, 11-2.
Whoa.
Probably the two entertainers, I would say, in the division right now. Certainly Notts County have been all season. If you look at their recent games, not that many have copped over 5.5, but there are just loads of goals in most of them. You know, it's a 3-0 win in midweek against Bradford, a 2-0 draw at Accrington before that. You have to go back to the 4-3 defeat against Sutton prior to that for the one that's copped in this bet. But we've got plenty of fours. Crewe, Newport, Gillingham all hit four. Then going back a bit further, you had the 10 goals in the game against Grimsby, the 6 goals in the game against Tranmere. And this is all since Luke Williams has left. So this is under the new manager, where we're still seeing an uber possession-based style. It clicked from an attacking standpoint in midweek. They were much the better team at Bradford. It was by far the best performance we've seen from them in recent times. And they should be able to cause Salford some problems. But we also know, you know, that was their first clean sheet in quite a long time, going back to the 29th of December in a 5-0 win. And Salford under Carl Robinson, as you'd expect with Carl Robinson, just loads of goals in their games as well. Their last three games have all had 4 goals. But prior to that, we had a 5-1 defeat at Mansfield, a 5-3 win against Barrow, a 3-2 win against Crewe. So at 11-2, you basically got two teams who I anticipate will throw men forward. And then there's also a couple of quite interesting little subplots in this game.
Yes, we love a couple of interesting little subplots in this game.
Firstly, you've got Macaulay Langstaff against Matt Smith in the race for the League Two Golden Boot. Langstaff comes into the game one clear of Smith.
Oh, come on, McScorry.
You know, we're basically going to see playing out in front of us in what should be a pretty end-to-end game. It's going to have quite a big sway on who ends up winning that, and both players will be acutely aware of their ability to get one over on the other one, I think, going into it. And then you've got a bit of a soap opera one, which is the best creative player in League Two this season in Jody Jones, who's going to set records for assists, I think, in the league, is up against a manager in Carl Robinson who brought him to Oxford last season and basically refused to play him to the extent that even there was a player... when we played Arsenal in the Cup last season, Jody Jones was, by all accounts, fit and wasn't on the bench, but a player called Yoav Sade was, who was an Israeli player who was at Oxford for reasons unbeknown to any fan, given that he never played football for the club and he had like a 3-year deal. And Sade, who would never have come on in a million years, was selected to be on the bench ahead of Jones. Like, something very weird was going on in the relationship between Jones and Robinson. And right now, for Oxford fans, including myself, when you consider how poor we were last season, when we consider how starved of surface Matty Taylor was, the fact that Jody Jones was not even getting on the bench for Oxford, I think Jones will feel like he's got a massive point to prove on Saturday, which will add another wrinkle to this game from an attacking creative standpoint. So yeah.
And also, plot twist, what's he called? Jonathan Soave?
Yoav Sade.
Yoav Sade has 43 assists in the Israeli fourth tier this season. So he's actually twice as good as Jody Jones.
I wonder,
is not true.
Is Yoav Sade still playing? He's playing for AFC Dunstable. So that's all you really need to know.
42 assists. Okay. Nice. Right. That takes us to our...
No, yeah, he is playing for... He signed in October, so he had a few time bit for that club.
The BTTS this week, a little bit different because I'm feeling... No-y. George is feeling yes-y. So it is a sixfold, but it's a bit of a Vicky Pollard. Yes, but no, but. Three yeses to start us off, George. The sixfold is at just better than 31-1, 32.3 with the Betfair Sportsbook.
Yes, two of the games I've already covered, so a fairly simple. Stockport, MK Dons, for reasons I've already mentioned. I think MK Dons will trouble Stockport, and their game is generally pretty good for goals. And Notts County Salford, for the reasons I've already mentioned. Also adding in Mansfield against Colchester, where Mansfield's home form is obviously very good. And I expect that they will beat Colchester. But Colchester themselves are a pretty good attacking side under Danny Cowley. They really don't score, even if they rarely pick up many points. But if you look at Mansfield's home games over the last eight, they've only kept one clean sheet. That's despite winning games 9-2, 5-1, 3-2. Sutton scored there, MK scored twice there, Crewe have scored there, Doncaster have scored there. So it's not like, you know, their dominance at home isn't based around the preventing the opposition from creating chances. It's just being a relentless attacking force, which probably opens up chance at the other end for other sides. So the two televised games, which means that we could be rolling on to the late game on Saturday. And it also could mean that it's going to be all over by 3 o'clock.
Carlisle v Stevenage, BTTS no. As discussed a little earlier, Stevenage in their last seven have had six games finish either 0-0 or 1-0. They've only scored in three of their last seven. Carlisle, no great shakes either. Hard to imagine that one being high octane stuff. But also Grimsby and Wrexham, BTTS, no. I really like this price of 5-4 because I think this price assumes that Grimsby are still playing a really open style, which is how they started under Dave Artell. But I think it misses the fact that about a month ago, Dave Artell went from Roberto De Zerbi to Arrigo Sacchi and is now just trying to boil the game down to absolutely nothing. And it's worked pretty well for their results and for their moving away from the relegation zone. Their last six games have been 1-1, 1-0, 0-0, 1-1, 1-0, 1-1. So not a lot of goals. And Wrexham away from home have had trouble all year. They've only scored 19 goals away from home. So BTTS no, I think at 5-4 is a really nice price. And Wimbledon and Crewe, BTTS no as well. This one as well, 1.75 the price. Wimbledon, post Ali Alhamidi, have been one of the lowest margin teams in the division. Wimbledon have seen BTTS no land in each of their last seven League Two games. And Crewe seem to have lost a little bit of their mojo. The injury to their captain, Luke Offord, hasn't helped. Elliot Nevitt is doing well up front, but he hasn't had a huge amount of support in terms of the goal-scoring burden recently. So Crewe and Wimbledon, my third BTTS no pick. So be careful. It's a little harder to place than normal, where you can just click yes six times. This is a mixture. Three BTTS yes picks from George come in Mansfield Colchester, Stockport MK Dons, and Notts County Salford, all in League Two. And then I've got BTTS no in Carlisle Stevenage in League One, Crewe Wimbledon, and Grimsby Wrexham in League Two. Thank you very much for listening to this NTT20 betting show ahead of a very reduced docket in the EFL. We hope that you enjoy it. The two televised league games, make sure that you watch and enjoy those, and join us on Monday for a breakdown of it all on Not the Top 20 podcast. Before we go, George, why don't you recap your selections?
My nap is Burton Albion to beat Port Vale at 6-5. MK to go to Stockport and win at 15-4 is my next best. Matthew Dennis to score any time for MK at 7-2 is my goal scorer, and over 5.5 goals. And Notts County against Salford at 11-2 is my long shot.
My nap is Derby and under 3.5 goals at 2.25. My next best, Burton and under 3.5 goals at 2.75. Those prices with the Betfair Sportsbook. Same for Hakeem Adeleken at 4.33 to score any time for Doncaster against Forest Green. My long shot, Carlisle and Stevenage to finish 0-0 at 15-2. And the BTTS picks are BTTS yes in Mansfield Colchester, Stockport MK Dons, and Notts County Salford. And BTTS no in Carlisle Stevenage, Crewe Wimbledon, and Grimsby Wrexham. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Betfair for sponsoring this podcast. Enjoy your weekend. Go well.